Welcome to Focus on the Community on WAMW. I'm Grant Schwarzentruber. Each week, we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. Well, I'm pleased to have my friend Rob Kendall on the show today. And Rob, I'm just making sure that it's you. Is that really you?
Yeah, it's me.
Awesome. So, Rob, tell us a little bit about yourselves. I know you're a kind of a pundit in the Indianapolis area for political issues. Tell us about yourself, Rob.
Yeah, so served on the Brownsburg Town Council. It's a suburb, the west side of Indianapolis, from 2012 to 2015. Was the youngest elected official in the county. Worked for then-Governor Pence as the director for the Indiana Board of Pharmacy. Worked on who is now the Lieutenant Governor, Suzanne Crouch, when she was the state auditor before that. And currently work for WIVC Radio, which is the news talk station of record in Indianapolis. Service producer for Chicks on the Right and an on-air talent for WIBC.
Well, very good. I'm very pleased to have you. I mentioned earlier we have some, you know, the local dog catcher will sometimes come on, or we'll get a township trustee, but you're kind of a big deal, so I'm very happy that we were able to get you. Okay.
Well, it's awesome that you're doing stuff like this, Grant, because the government that is most important to people is the government closest to them, and so many people don't realize that. And so it's awesome that we have local shows like this that really tell people what's going on in their community.
Absolutely. There are very few outlets for this type of thing. And so what I think I want to talk about, obviously you're not going to know a lot of stuff about a township race or maybe even a county race, but I want to talk about national and state issues, but mainly how that impacts people in Southern Indiana, Southwest Indiana, where our listeners are. And I know you've worked in, you know, Republican administrations. I'm a Republican. Last week we had a guy who's a friend of mine, a local Democrat, come on. We try to alternate it back and forth, and especially as we lead up to the local midterm elections, it kind of reaches a fever pitch. And I mean, it's water cooler talk everywhere you go. They're talking about, hey, the caravan that's coming up from Central America, or still fallout from a Kavanaugh hearing, or the bombs that were in the mail, or any number of things. But I guess I want to hear from you, Rob. Why do these things matter, or why should they matter to our listeners?
Well, I will tell you, Grant, I did date a woman from Vandenberg County for a long time, so I'm a little bit familiar.
You're close to greatness.
Yeah, she went to beautiful Castle High School, so I'm a little bit familiar.
Sure.
My dad is a big fan of the incredible golf course you have down there. So that's he went to I think the seniors had an event down there.
Victoria National, is that right?
Yeah, Victoria National. He's played there. He played in the Indiana Senior. So huge fan of the area, and I wanted to say that, you know, that's God's country down there.
It is.
Very big fan. Anyway, your question again, I'm sorry. I just wanted to give the praise for southwestern Indiana.
So I want to know why, you know, we hear about all this. I was at Subway today, and I was talking to a guy, and he goes, well, Grant, have you been hearing about this caravan thing that's coming up from Central America? And I said, honestly, I don't. I don't pay attention to the national news very well, but, you know, these immigration issues are kind of reaching a fever pitch. A lot of people are just randomly talking about it. There's a lot of fear out there generally from the electorate, and there's a lot of interest surrounding these issues. And I guess my question is, why should these things matter? Why do politics matter to people in a small town like where we're at here in Washington, Indiana, in Daviess County, Indiana? Why is that important?
Well, it's really interesting because President Trump was sort of the first mainstream candidate on the Republican side to make immigration an issue. There were guys like Tom Tancredo, who ran in 2008. He was a congressman from Colorado who made that a big deal, but he didn't really have a chance to win. And one of the things that really drew me to President Trump was one of the early Republican primary debates was he said, and I'm paraphrasing, either we have a country or we don't. Either we have borders or we don't. And I thought that's really an interesting approach because I spent a lot of time in North Carolina doing talk radio, and I used to talk to a guy named Michael Munger, and he was the head of the political science department at Duke. He ran for governor of North Carolina in 2008, and he described it, immigration, as, I want to have a big wall and a very wide gate. And basically what that meant was, We want to continue to be a country that welcomes people, that welcomes the best of what the world has to offer. But at the same time, we want to know who's coming in. We want to make sure that we have the best of the best entering in America, and we want to encourage the best of the best to say, that's the land of opportunity. And I think that's a lot of what this is about, right? Like, we want to be a country that welcomes everybody. But at the same time, when we hear about people like Kate Steinle and the tragic death that became her, we want to say, look, we want to make sure that we don't have dangerous people, that we don't have Al-Qaeda, that we don't have ISIS, that we don't have MS-13 coming in. We want to welcome the best of the best who want to work the hardest, and we want to be a nation of laws and values and say that coming to America still matters.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I worry that sometimes maybe the president doesn't say it that diplomatically. Is that fair?
it's totally fair. And look, Trump is who he is. And I, you know, a lot of my start in talk radio, at least here in Indianapolis, was based on I interviewed Trump the day before the Indiana primary. And that
I
kind
remember
of
that,
on the
yeah.
map in terms of talk radio. And I told Trump when we got done, he was so charismatic and he was so nice. And I told him at the end of the interview, when we were all done, the recording had stopped, I said, if people knew this side of you, because we talked for like 15 minutes afterwards, you're supposed to be on a timer, and the people, you know, Trump's handler is trying to get me out of the room, and he just keeps talking. And I told him, I said, if people knew this side of you, if they knew this guy, which is totally different than Twitter Trump or Apprentice Trump, they'd have a totally different opinion of you. And I think one of the things the president has struggled with is this idea that you're not the CEO of Trump Industries anymore, that you're the CEO of America. And sometimes you got to be a little diplomatic on things. You can't be calling a porn star horse face, no matter how much she's offended you or how angry you are. I think it's, while something that drew many of us to campaign Trump, President Trump has struggled sometimes to be able to build the consensus even when he's right.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let me ask you this as kind of a follow-up. Do you feel that his persona, his approach, has led to a coarsening of discussion between people who are rivals, political rivals? Do you think we've seen that in the last 2-3 years?
I think Trump is sort of a culmination of something that happened during the Clinton administration. I mean, a lot of people don't realize MoveOn.org was founded out of the Clinton impeachment. And Bill Clinton wasn't impeached for having an affair. He wasn't impeached for doing what he did in the White House. That's between him and his wife and Monica Lewinsky. Bill Clinton was impeached for lying about that under oath. And if you or I, Grant, had done that, we would have gone to federal prison. I mean, he lied under oath. That you're an attorney. You know that. That's like the one thing you
not
can't
supposed,
do.
I've heard you're not supposed to do that, Rob.
Yeah. You know, that's why you put your hand on the Bible and swear that. But the narrative became Bill Clinton was impeached for having an affair in the Oval Office. And there was a lot of anger that rose out of that. And it was amplified when a lot of people felt that Bush was handed the White House by the Supreme Court and you know, by a Florida attorney general, at which time his brother was governor. And that's not true either when you cut through the nuts and bolts of it, but that's the perception. And that anger continued to really amplify. And we saw some of that, the early stages of that, with guys like Howard Dean. And then Obama becomes president. And, you know, he won that election fair and square. John McCain was an awful candidate. I didn't sit around and say, well, it was taken from me or whatever. You know, same thing with Romney. He was a bad candidate. He was winning, and then he let Candy Crowley throw the yellow flag, and he was a bad candidate. He lost that election. Trump wins, and the left feels entitled. They feel that Clinton was taken from them. They feel that Bush stole it from Gore. It's a sense of entitlement, and it's rage and outrage because Trump is sort of the culmination of people like me saying, it's time to get America back to its roots. It's time to get America back to what makes it great. And progressives really want to see a fundamental change to America and the idea the founders had. And there's just a huge, you know, void in terms of how people view America these
days.
Yeah,
big gap between this group and that group. Totally agree. People don't even get their news from the same places. I mean, you've got a handful of people that listen to Chicks on the Right, correct?
Yep.
You've got a handful of people that listen to, you know, the liberal shows. You've got people don't even agree on what the problems are anymore.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Grant, you say that, because look, President Obama won 2 elections, and I never disputed the results of those elections. John McCain was a bad candidate. He was winning and then disappeared during the financial crisis, and he lost. Mitt Romney was winning, and he allowed the mainstream media to derail him, and he played their game, and he lost. And some of us at the time said, look, you got to go hardcore on this guy. You got to point out who he is and what he believes. And Romney didn't want to do that, and he lost. And we accept the results of the election, and we worked to flip the House and worked to flip the Senate to try to combat that. But it never disputed the legitimacy of an Obama presidency. I said, he's the president. He's got to work with the Congress. Now we have a stalemate. That's why we vote, you know, try to get Republicans elected to the House and the Senate. Elections have consequences on all sides. The left does not want to legitimize the Trump election. And the fact is, Trump is only president because 80,000 people in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania who voted for Barack Obama despised Hillary Clinton and did not vote for her. The left doesn't want to accept that, and they want to make the Trump presidency illegitimate. He's a legitimate president the same way Obama was.
Yeah, that's fair, and I think that makes sense. And I think, you know, as time goes along, legitimacy has set in, where I guess it doesn't matter after 4 years, after 3 years, after 2 years, hey, they're the president. Better recognize that the sky's blue, the grass is green, and this person is the president. So it really doesn't matter what they think.
But you're a rational person, Grant, and that's the difference, right? Like, regardless of what your private opinion might be, we have a way that we elect a president. And again, Obama wasn't my guy. I begrudgingly voted for John McCain. I begrudgingly voted for Mitt Romney. I didn't vote for either one of them in the primary, but I felt they were the best choice. They weren't good candidates. They lost the same way as the Republicans took the House, the Republicans took the Senate. Donald Trump legitimately won the election. I've talked to our own Secretary of State, Connie Lawson, several times about this, interviewed her on it. We've heard this from Democrat Secretary of State, including the Connecticut Secretary of State, who is a Democrat, who is the head of the Secretary of State's Association at the time. You can't hack the U.S. election system. It's impossible to do. Donald Trump legitimately won that election, and as a result, he gets to do certain things, whether it's appoint Supreme Court justices or push tax policy or immigration policy. There are consequences for elections. If you don't like it, win an election. The right sees it that way. The left doesn't.
Yeah. No, this is good stuff, because I don't think you're hearing a lot of people saying this, and you're a totally different point of view, and I really am enjoying this right now. And I think the listeners are too. You may or may not know this, but Daviess County, where we're based, had the highest Trump electorate of any county in the state of Indiana.
Very aware of that, yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have a lot of sympathetic people and Republicans. I mean, it's longstanding Republican territory. Senator Homer Capehart, back in the, you know, 60, 70 years ago, who was an extremely important person in the U.S. Senate, and was, I think he was in for two terms. But anyways, that's, ever since that, all the counties around us, they've been Democrat. Daviess County's been Republican. But as you've seen various demographic shifts, the entirety of rural America has gone red. And so I guess
real quick, Grant, could you make an interesting point? Because there's a guy running for U.S. Senate right now from out of your neck of the woods, and that's Mike Braun.
Correct.
And Mike Braun is an interesting guy because, you know, he went through a primary in which he was a lifelong Democrat who was elected to the state house as a Republican. And Rakita and Messer hit him hard, Rakita more so than Messer, on being a lifelong Democrat. And, you know, people can change their minds, right? I mean, you can wake up one day and say, look, this isn't working for me anymore. Look, my ingrained life, my ingrained way of thinking, the way my parents were, it doesn't work anymore. And it doesn't disqualify you from running for public office from the other party if you suddenly wake up and you realize, hey, look, this isn't working for me. What's working best for America is another idea. And I've never understood the idea that the people get punished for changing their minds. Whichever way they change their mind, or whether they become a libertarian, it shouldn't matter. You're entitled to change your mind in America.
No, that's a good point. I mean, you had a whole generation of Kennedy folks who were these moderate Democrats in rural areas, and I mean, that's a person like Braun. All the counties around us, so Dubois, where he's from, is a county around us. Let's jump to that election real quick. Straight up, you know, we interviewed Donnelly on this show, we interviewed Braun on this show. Who wins that election?
It's really interesting, because I've always thought that Braun, even though he doesn't, I'm torn on this, Grant, man. You know, I'm very vocal on social media.
I've heard
POV,
that. I've heard
they want you to hug me and put me at the front line in photos. They hate me now. But I always feel like as a radio broadcaster, you have an obligation to be fair, because if you're just criticizing one party, it delegitimizes that criticism. And I'm equally as critical of Republicans or Libertarians, regardless of what their view is. Braun is a guy who I'm going to vote for. I'm going to vote for Mike Braun. I would encourage others to vote for Mike Braun. It's not a vote I'm excited about, because I don't think Mike Braun necessarily deserves to be in the United States Senate. I think he's a guy with a lot of money. He earned it. He's entitled to spend it how he wants. But I think he just outspent his opponents in the primary. That being said, Mike Braun is clearly the better choice compared to Joe Donnelly, because Joe Donnelly, and I've interviewed Joe many times, he's a nice guy. I think Joe Donnelly is somewhat moderate in his beliefs. I think he's a decent dude. But he will empower crazy people to run the country.
Yeah, and what about him being, you know, the least effective Democrat senator out of, what, 50 of them? The least effective one we've got as our senator. I mean, that's an article in the Indianapolis Star in the last, 6 months that can't help his campaign. How do you measure effectiveness? Do you believe that, Rob?
Well, Grant, you hit on a good point, which is, look, and this... It angers people when you'll tell them this, but the way our system works, you're not voting for Joe Donnelly or Mike Braun. You're essentially voting for whether you want Chuck Schumer or Mitch McConnell to run the United States Senate.
Amy Schumer's older cousin, or the guy that's married to Elaine Chao, right?
And we can do better. And trust me, Mitch McConnell is not my boy. I'm not a huge fan. But if you put... You say, Rob, you got two choices. You want this dude or this dude running the country. What we saw, the way they treated Brett Kavanaugh, Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, so let's get into that. How does the Kavanaugh, I mean, so we were hearing all about this blue wave. How does Kavanaugh change that? Did it change it?
It's a reminder to people like me, because I was very adamantly, I was very critical of Braun. I don't think he's campaigned well. I think he was fraudulent in the primary, saying, I've got all this money, I'm independent, I'm not a Washington outsider, and the first thing he does is goes raise money from Washington insiders. I was the guy that was looking at, man, I may just protest vote for Lucy Brennan, because Kavanaugh's going to get in, the courts is what I'm all about, we got the court. But you watch that display of how the Democrats treated Brett Kavanaugh, where Dianne Feinstein, who literally had this information from a tortured woman. I mean, I don't think that the Dr. Ford was assaulted by Brett Kavanaugh. She has mental issues. And Dianne Feinstein used this woman, and the Democrats used this woman. And they played partisan politics with sexual assault, which is one of the most disgusting things you can possibly do. And it's a reminder. Kavanaugh was a reminder to people like me, you may not like Braun, and just like with Todd Young, I know I'm going to be angry for 6 years at this guy, complaining about all sorts of stuff that he does that's moderate Republican that's going to make me angry, but he's a hell of a lot better than Joe Donnelly. And you cannot let these lunatics run the country. And Kavanaugh was a reminder of that. Kavanaugh swayed my vote.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And Trump had his best month ever in the 3 or 4 weeks surrounding the Kavanaugh nomination. He went up, a net 11 points in the poll. Not that polls mean anything, but let's be honest. I mean, by most measures, the tenor of the news changed a lot at the very end of that confirmation hearing, and then the weeks after that.
It's a reminder. If you remember back in 2002, Bush had been elected in 2000, and normally the president suffers in midterm elections. And if you remember, one of the key elections for the United States Senate was an election in Minnesota. And at the time, the Democrat, Moynihan, had passed away. I think it was a plane crash that he had died in. And they had a funeral service for him, and Walter Mondale, who'd run for president, was going to step up and going to run in his place. And a lot of people thought Mondale, because he was very popular in Minnesota, was going to win. He was running against Norm Coleman. Well, this funeral for this beloved departed senator turned into a campaign rally. Bill Clinton's there, all these people there, and they're just basically, it's a campaign rally. And the American public looks at this, and the people of Minnesota look at this, and it's like, that's disgusting. We don't want you running America. We may not like these other guys, but you're disgusting. And the Kavanaugh thing, for a lot of people, especially men, it was an eye-opener for men, realized, I could be next, I could be falsely accused, you're disgusting, we're voting for the other guy.
That's interesting. And I kind of want to bring this back in and how that affects people locally. Straight up, I like Braun. I think he deserves to be in the Senate. He's a self-made man. Certainly you can attack him various ways, but he's not a politician. He's just a dude that has been successful in business and is going to run for Senate. Isn't that the person that we want representing Indiana? And then I also want you to talk about if you think any of the incumbent Republican women on the statewide ticket, if any of those are vulnerable.
Well, let's address that one first. First of all, you've got a woman running for state treasurer in Kelly Mitchell who's phenomenal. She's super qualified. She's great. I know Kelly very well. My wife actually worked, full disclosure, my wife actually worked for Kelly's campaign for a while. But Kelly's great. She's phenomenal.
She's
actually at
outstanding person.
My wedding.
Yeah.
So Kelly was even at my wedding, and she's great. So I always want to be.
Do you remember what
that.
She bought you, wedding present?
I do. I do remember. Kelly's awesome. Her husband was there. He's a great guy. He's totally non-political, but love the Mitchells. They're phenomenal people, and she's totally, totally the sort of person we should have in that office. She's non-political. She's about doing what's right. She's great. Kara Klutz, state auditor. She's a CPA. Again, totally qualified. State auditor. I worked in that office for a while. It was a rising star office for a while. You put somebody in there like a Tim Berry or people that are political that you want to move up. And Tara Klutz is super qualified. State auditor's office is so important. You know, they oversee the state's finances. Those people that work there, I worked with them for about a year. They're hardworking. She's great. The one person I have a problem with is Connie Lawson. And I'll tell you right now, Grant, I'm going to be voting for Mark Rutherford for Secretary of State. I know Connie. Connie's from Hendricks County, which is where I'm from. But Connie's comments about Curtis Hill and the "you must resign" with any sort of investigation told me she's not really about justice. She's about political expediency, and I don't have a tolerance for that. So two of the three Republican statewide I'll be voting for. I know that may surprise you a little bit, but I will not be voting for Connie Lawson.
That's interesting. Yeah, and we are going to have to get wrapped up here, Rob. But some of your comments are very interesting. I appreciate your honesty and telling us what you think. I know you had strong opinions about some of these statewide office holders, Curtis Hill, the governor, et cetera. But that's a whole nother show, man.
Yeah, so you got to leave the audience wanting some, right? No, seriously, Grant, I want to thank you for doing this. As somebody who grew up in local radio, who grew up listening to local radio, these shows are so important, and I'm so glad that these stations let you air this show. I'm so glad you do this show, and people that are hearing this, listen every week because you are so blessed to have people like Grant who will do these shows to tell you about what's going on in your community, because local government, while it may not be the most sexy form of government, it is the most important. So, Grant, thank you for doing this.
Awesome job. Thank you so much, Rob. Rob Kendall from WIBC, good all-around guy. Thank you, Rob. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, the General 95.9 and 101.3 FM and 1580 AM. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every weekend to WAMW as we focus on the community.